Blog Talk Radio. inside of your protected place with reverence. I'm reminded of a time I was neglected. It seems your heaven says she loves it. From the sunny clouds, my love. Plus we like to take it easy. All she wants to do is please me. Every time I'm on that TV, calls me up, says take me away.
Thank you. says how I feel nowadays. Think in my mind something changed. Struggling here in the interface, in between self-love and the loss of you. Moment in time and I know the truth. Broke down just what we were meant to do. It's a hard pill too, cause I still wonder about you. At the climb, now it seems really high. Wish that I chose not to fear. Fighting to choose and I hate not to try. In between self-love and the loss of you. Moment in time and I know the truth. Broke down just what we were meant to do. It's a hard pill too, cause I still wonder about you. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, good people one and all, welcome to another installment of War Council. Sponsored by Epiphany Radio Universal for Real Entertainment Network. Sponsored by Raw Links, Why Be Average and Keep Me Raw. I believe we'll have some information available for you to cop a very fresh polar bracelet or whatever you need. Custom made jewelry. Just for You by Raw Links. Now tonight, normally we have a lot of fun stuff that we like to talk about, relationships and things of the sort, but we're going to talk about a serious subject tonight. And we're going to talk about domestic violence and domestic violence against men in particular. Some of the figures probably will bug you out. Because we discussed, and as I put in the advertisement, the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence reports that approximately 835,000 men are physically abused by an intimate partner each year. 1 in 4 men report being the victim of some type of physical violence by a romantic partner at some point in their lifetime, with 1 in 5 women and 1 in 7 men reporting the abuse as being severe physical violence. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about a few other things too, but on our docket, this is what we have. This is what we're rocking with first. And please understand, feel free to call in. Feel free to hit me back channel, if you know my back channel, and talk to me. Feel free to ask questions. Feel free to call in and ask questions. If you want to remain anonymous due to your situation, we will honor that. Make sure that we aren't telling anybody. But if you are having problems, I'm going to repeat a hotline number that you can call. It's more important for you to have safety, to not feel the duress of being with an intimate partner that abuses you. And I'm talking to the fellas right now. A lot of times that we don't talk, but you know, we don't talk about the things that happen. But before we get into that, let me bring in my egalitarian conscious community panel of Hellified Dope Creatives. So to introduce them to you, if you're following us and you follow our particular thing, make sure that you understand that the number here that you can call in is 319-527-6300. Now, if you want to be heard, press 1. The number is 319-527-6300. All right, and with that being said, bring our good people in here. All right, from the great state of Philly. Great state of Pennsylvania, but from my favorite Philly zone, one of my best friends in the entire world, the Pearl of Negro. What's good?
Hey, hey, what's up? How you doing?
What's going on? Brother, I ain't talked to you all day today. It feels weird. It's weird.
Man, it's technical issues, technical difficulties, but I'm still around.
Yeah, I know. I know the feeling. I definitely know the feeling. All right. Come up next is our station manager, dope individual, your brother, Mr. Van Meadows. Mr. Van Meadows, are you here, sir?
Yes, sir. I am here, Mojave. What's good? Hey, La Pearl, La Negra. Hey, Danielle. Looking forward to tonight, man.
Which is cool. All right, so now we're gonna go from you, from the VA transplant, the VA MD transplant now in Alabama. Our very own Lisa Lips. How are you?
Hey. Good. Hey, everybody. What's going on?
Well, hey,
Miss Lips.
What's up,
right? What's happening? All right. And now we're gonna go from you. All right. We're gonna go from you to from the Detroit versus everybody. I think they got it reversed. That's the first time I've seen that shirt. Detroit versus everybody. I was like, where is it like that? Great state of Michigan. One of my boys, my bro, Omari. Are you there?
What up, though? What up, though?
Hey, hey.
What's going on?
What's going on, bro?
What's good? How's everybody doing tonight?
All right.
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Good to hear. Good to hear.
All right,
better than that.
So, even better. All right. And we're going to go from you to the D.C., the OG, Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer. What's good?
Hey, what's good, Mojave? How's everybody doing in on the airwaves tonight? What's happening? What's cracking?
Hey, Joe.
Good.
Hey,
Joe the Burrow, my brother.
Danielle, how you doing? La Prella Negra.
Oh, yeah.
Good to hear you.
I'm good.
All right, we're bringing people. And, of course, not last but not least, because we're going to have people coming late, but good brother. My other bestest friends in the entire stinking planet. Only man called me on my shit. Well, actually, everybody calls me on my shit. Anyway, Dawoo, what's good?
Everything's good, bro. How you doing?
Hey, Dawoo.
What you doing, like Bob doing?
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
What's up?
Everything cool. I'm kind of tired, but everything is good. How y'all doing?
Doing good,
hey,
bro.
Hey.
Hear you.
As well.
Well, let me pop a gummy. Let's get this going.
For the children that are listening, that's a Flintstone vitamin.
Yes, thank you.
That
thank you for absolutely.
The Flintstone.
But if you saw me at the meetup, you know better.
Right.
We're on the secret scroll already.
Let's do this.
All right. So let me set this off regardless of what we're doing. All right. So men report many of the same problems associated with domestic violence as many women do, including instances of stalking. Approximately 5.1 million men report being stalked at some point during their lifetime. Additionally, 1 in 71 men report being raped by someone that they know, and 29% of these men said the rape was committed by an intimate partner. Now, the problem with male victims in reporting instances of violence that women are 7 to 14 times more likely to report domestic violence than men are. Right? This underreporting is possibly due to stereotypes regarding men and women. The American culture emphasizes male domination, prowess, and strength. Being a victim of domestic violence does not correspond to the stereotype. Additionally, gender norms associate men with being naturally stronger than women, causing many men to believe that they can handle the situation, choosing not to report the events. Much of the discourse regarding domestic violence is based on women victims. When men do report instances of domestic violence, law enforcement officers may not take the allegation seriously. Additionally, there are far fewer resources available to assist male victims of domestic violence than there are to assist female victims of domestic violence. Some men may be afraid that if they report domestic violence, they may even be accused of inflicting abuse. Right? And the effects of this is that men suffer many of the same effects as female victims of domestic violence. And the domestic violence correlates to alcohol and drug abuse, higher rates of suicide, depressive episodes. Men suffer physical injuries inflicted by intimate partners. Right. And so the laws regarding domestic violence apply directly to men. For example, the Violence Against Women Act applies equally as it is to men as it is to women. But due to the rampant problem of domestic violence and thousands that suffer from it, it's important that men receive the same amount of advocacy on their behalf. Rather than focus on efforts specifically targeted to violence against women, the consideration is a shift to focus on intimate partner violence, regardless of the sex of the victim. All right. So I said that to set everything else so we have a good basis to begin our conversation about, can men be abused? Why being abused? How they're being abused? And the underreporting that happens. And so, you know, being the fact that one of the things that the article presented itself was, it said, because of the image of men being strong and virile and supposed to be the stronger partner, my question to start out is, why the underreporting? And, you know, why is it that men that are abused refuse to report, underreport, or we wait till a situation comes up? So anybody want to hop in, just hop in at this point and rock out with it.
Yeah, I want to answer that question. You know, the why to it. And then the main reason from some observations I personally experienced is crime. You know, like you say, we've been portrayed as the stronger one, the real one and all that, but it's pride. You know, they look at you like, oh, man, come on, man, you going to let that girl do that to you and all that stuff. But then, again, we instill not to, you know, like to strike women because, you know, we're going to suffer the consequences versus, you know, trying to explain that we actually defending ourselves. But, you know, it's pride. That's just my opinion.
It's true. It is true. I know some men, because I know several women that are physically abusive towards their men. And I mean grabbing stuff and hitting them with it. And a lot of it stems from the same thing, same reason why men are abusive towards women. Insecurities in that woman, control issues in that woman, straight selfishness and greed. It's the same issues, but I think the reason why men don't seek help or speak on it much is one of the reasons, yes, is pride. And they're not protected. When society hears this about a man being abused by a woman, they are looked down upon. What you whining for, you know, or you couldn't handle that, just like Joe said. And they tend to put it aside or keep it inside, which becomes like a self-destructive button, and it comes out in other ways. And it's fear of being looked at a certain way.
Yeah, well, let me interject again, because something you said, it's something you said that, you know, men, why a lot of men don't complain, because a lot of times we get that same line. Women get abused too. Women get
mm-hmm.
abused too, and that kind of, you know, it kind of mm-hmm. takes away from the, you know, the whole, you know, we try to explain, you know, the men's side of this thing. Yeah, we definitely
right.
know women get abused, but you know, just to, you know, they keep hearing that every time that conversation comes up, that causes us not to speak of it.
No, that's not what I was saying. I said women abuse men for a lot of the same reasons why men abuse women. It's jealousy, it's insecurity, it's selfishness. It's a lot of the same reasons. Some of them women is just psycho. I wasn't saying it to push it away or to make it seem like it's less than. Oh, I thought you were saying you was tired of hearing it because I said it. That's not the way that I meant it.
No. He was agreeing with you. Like,
no.
I was in the middle.
Oh, okay.
It was dope, and he was agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
You're
trying
to piss up today.
I'm not to tell what you're saying.
I would never. I'm trying to say I would never. I never have. No.
I also kind of think that a lot of men don't report it, because if a woman reports abuse, it's taken seriously. And for the most part,
mm-hmm.
everybody rallies around her and looks for her abuser. Whereas if a man reports it, it turns into a joke. You're like, man, you let that girl hit you, yada, yada, yada. And it turns into a joke, and nobody really takes it seriously. So a lot of men won't report that reason.
Well, the foundational principle of this is it's generational. Our fathers told us that if you report domestic violence with a woman, nobody's going to do nothing. Many of our fathers told us this because it happened to them. Or older men told us that same thing. And so the first time we have any experience with women putting hands on us or trying to bait us into putting hands, whatever, and the police don't do anything, all it does is it reinforces that negative information that we heard from elders or fathers. My father would, you know, made sure, even though my father was the abuser in the situation, my father, I always tell people, because I do domestic violence classes myself. I literally teach domestic violence classes. And I always tell them, I say, I'm a child of domestic violence, like brutal domestic violence. Well, my father would beat my mother so badly that when I heard any kind of rumbling, my mind, up until I was 40 years old, my mind would go back to my dad beating my mother. But my dad, being the narcissist that he was, flipped the script and tried to make it seem like it was my mother's fault, it was society's fault. So a lot of men, either their fathers were abusers or they weren't abusers, but they passed down this negative information to them. Police ain't going to do nothing. So if you've been told that since you were a little boy, that police ain't going to do nothing, you grow up with that mind that they're not going to do anything, and so you try to take matters into your own hands. In addition to that, I can remember years ago during the what we call the conscious community phase, where, you know, there was a lot of conscious information being spread. Some people called it Hotepin, whatever. And there were two, like, really big names in the conscious community that were fighting each other. One of the dudes actually had an incident with his wife, and, like, she put hands on him. He had to call the cops. Man, he was ridiculed all around the conscious community for this. Mm-hmm. How could you call cops on your woman? You pussy. And I was like, God damn. You understand? So here it is in 2022, and we're talking about this, but it hasn't always been something that has been easy to talk about. Just like with women, it's not to the same intensity, because nobody would argue that men get abused at the same intensity as women, but it's still something that is hard to talk about because we as a society have made it hard. We're trying to blame it on men, or we're trying to blame it on the victims, but we have made it hard. We've made it hard for men to talk about being abused, and so they keep it to themselves.
Wow. All right. I know someone was doing that. Someone wanted to hop in.
Yeah, that was me. I'd like to offer another reason why men don't report abuse, as my 4 a.m. alarm went off this morning from my child of 26 years dealing with this situation right now. I asked him, why are you not calling the police after you've been assaulted? He says to me, because she has a lot to lose. Not him, but she has a lot to lose. So even though that this thing occurred, he still cares about the things that would happen to her if he did this. And I had to gently remind him, son, you have a lot to lose too.
Right.
So, Mark,
Hold on.
You know, I'm hearing a lot here, and you know, I think we have to be very careful to not get in, not get away from focusing on the internal issues that some of you have already touched up on. And when we say pride, I want to take it even deeper and go into ego, right? Because the ego, like when we talked about the Hotep situation, I think that was Daoud that mentioned that. It's not just you pussy for not, you know, for reporting your woman. It's more like you need to get your bitch in check. You know, it implies that you should have been the greater aggressor in the situation. So instead of the man being able to talk about being an experiencer of assault, he has to be defensive, because our ego is in place from this patriarchal system. Our ego is in place to try to shield us from ridicule, from being ostracized, from, you know, getting our feelings hurt. We forget that grown men can get their feelings hurt too, right? So I'll tell you as an experiencer, my situation went like this. I was with a woman whose mother was a very powerful figure who I worked for. And when the woman first laid hands on me, I was shocked because it was very aggressive. It wasn't a single slap. It wasn't a push. It was a very rabid dog type, you know, type attack. And I was just purely in shock. And I didn't think to call the police or to tell anybody because I was in such an initial shock that when it wore off, I started thinking about, well, if I report this or if I say something, I'm going to lose my job. Right? So I dealt with this for months because, you know, I was a young professional. I needed that job. I was trying my best not to lose it. But I also was a poet. I was performing. And she would show up to all my shows that I had with my group. And as soon as the show was over, she tried to get me to leave because she didn't want women to talk to me. And the two women in my group wanted to kick her ass every day. But one of them noticed a bruise and a scratch on my face and neck. And that almost turned into something crazy. So I finally walked away from the relationship. Well, really what made me walk away is I was also a bouncer and a bodyguard. And one day she attacked me from the back. And my instinct, not my anger, my instinct made me flip her to the ground. And I came down with my fist and I almost punched her in her face with her head flush against the floor, which would not have been good for my 275-pound, 6'2", muscular redness at the time, muscular. It would not have ended well, right? So there were so many pieces at work. And this is why when people tell me that women are stupid for staying in their situations, I'm like, it's always more to it than that. You know, Absolutely. Men stay in situations too because there's always more to it than that. It's more than just the ego. Like someone just said, I'm worried about what would happen to her, right? I'm worried about this. I'm worried about, like, so there's so many nuances. And as being a man and you're taught to be the leader and the head of the household, you take on a different type of responsibility to try to manage through situations. Then you probably
Bro,
need
there's
to.
An article from Psychology Today that says it takes 7 times for a person to leave an abusive situation. 7 times.
Yeah.
Just to kind of piggyback on what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I was wrapping up, so we good. Yeah. Yep, I agree. It took me 4. And it took me 4 because I thought about going to jail at that time. I was like,
right.
Oh, this could have put me in jail forever. Her mother's a city official. They could have put me in jail forever.
Okay, so I know we have the thing in the chat. So, Joe, you had mentioned, you said, what about when a woman tells her brothers or male friends to beat up the guy after she's been the aggressor?
Yeah, for real, man. Yeah, why? You know, a lot of times a girl, ladies, whatever, they'll go get their, you know, their brothers or male friends to go beat up some guy, you know, lying about the situation, like he did something to her, you know, which wasn't nothing. Then they attack this dude, you know, out of the blue, not even taking the opportunity to try to hear, you know, his perspective. It's just, you know, react because, you know, the situation is you take the woman for the word. You know, especially if she's like a demure female, and this is a big guy, yeah, they're going to believe it. Not even thinking about, you know, that could be wrong. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying in the chat.
No, I had a domestic violence class on this one time when we talked about it. Because one day I got to the class, and this dude was sitting in there, like one of the hoodest dudes in the class. He was mad frustrated. So I said, what's going on, brother? He was like, yo, I'm tired of my sister. I said, what do you mean? He was like, my sister keep messing with these white beaten ass niggas, and then she gets all of us to show up. We pull up, we beat the dude up, and then she goes back to him. We don't understand why she keeps doing it. I said, so you're telling me that she chooses dudes that put hands on her? He says, no, that's the worst thing. She initiates the contact. So, you know, we discussed it, and it does happen. You know what I'm saying? It really does happen. And it's like, these are things that you do not know before you get with somebody. These are the things that they hide. And unless you've been through it before, you can't see it from a distance. It's like once you're in the situation, then you see it. I mean, you know, early on in the situation, if she likes to play fight a little bit too much, are we going too far with this? Is that something we're going to get into later? Like the signs that somebody's acting like that?
Yeah, I definitely got the signs up so that we can do that. We can definitely.
Okay, cool,
that.
All right, so that, I'm going to
so
say
we
that.
Can, we can put
I know
that
that's
in the
something we get into. Okay.
This is why in the trainings I do, I talk to men about not being responsive and reactive in a violent way. There's ways to handle these situations, and I know we get angry at the thought of somebody hurting a woman we love, but what we need to do is support her if she decides she wants to file charges, if she wants to take a different action. But her asking us to commit violence, it's her asking us to potentially go to jail or potentially get killed, right? And I know our ego tells us we're not supposed to be afraid of that. But in actuality, this would solve that problem. If my sister knows, I'm not going to go over and try to kill somebody that laid hands on her, but instead I'll support her if she wants to handle it in a more constructive manner, then she'll be less likely to call me to try to lay hands on her.
Word.
Wow.
That's dope.
Respect, man. I like that, man. Respect.
As a matter of fact, so what I wanted to do is I wanted to read a case, and actually this is actually outside of it, basically showing you the global scope of it, but I'm going to take 5 minutes to read this for y'all. So, and it talks about men as victims of domestic violence. All right. This gentleman, Tammy Weisenberg, start with a familiar male misconception, right? The familiar male misconception that it was is that I could be her savior. And that's what he thought when he first met the woman who would become his girlfriend. She told him how she had in past experienced violence. He told him how she had been beaten in a previous relationship. She spoke about how unhappy she had become. He was deeply moved. He hoped to help her and prove to her that not all men are the same, that they can be caring and considerate. The idea that all she said was one big show designed to win my trust, to instrumentalize me, he recalls, was something that didn't occur to him at the time. It was the beginning of a desperately painful six-year-long relationship. And he's a confident man. He's built like a tree. He's tall and sturdy. He's a guy that likes to get things done. He tells you his story in a calm and measured tone, you know, and they say him, a victim, many would find it hard to imagine, but beware of those cliches that suggested a victim must be small, soft, and weak, especially if the victim is a man. Emotional dependency is the key to violence. Tammy and his girlfriend moved in together. He supported her both emotionally and financially. He remembers it as a rewarding relationship. As they grew closer, they didn't just share an apartment, but also a bank account, their day-to-day routines. Soon, they were almost completely dependent on each other. And then things took turn for worse. At first, it began when they were on holiday. They had booked themselves into a hotel that didn't meet his girlfriend's expectations. She refused to pay the bill. She wanted me to back her up. She wanted me to tell the hotel manager that his place was a dump, but I refused, feeling ashamed to be doing him down. Instead, I went ahead and got into the car and left her to do her thing. And when she got into the car, she started to slap me around the head and screamed at me. So I thought, that's not going to happen again, that I refused to stand by her. His girlfriend tried to justify her outburst by telling her about her troubled childhood, a childhood without love and affection, without stability or continuity, and he bought it. I felt like a servant. As the years went by, the emotional dependency grew. I felt like a servant who always had to get everything right. He says it was his top priority to please his girlfriend, follow all her rules, and there were rules for everything in their day-to-day lives, which piece of fruit to choose, how to pluck it, how to serve it. If I didn't please her, there was a bam, a blow to the head. It was always the same thing, get it right and please her or there'll be trouble, and it was never good enough. His partner's wishes became more extreme, the violence too. Eventually, Weisenberg ended up in emergency ward with cuts and broken bones. Still, he didn't defend himself. He didn't hit back. For many years, he hoped that she would see the error of her ways. I was a bundle of nerves trying to function to meet her expectations, trying not to repeat my mistakes. There was no time to feel lonely or reflect on my situation. As the years went by, it seemed less and less likely that help would come from the outside. His girlfriend controlled all of his social contacts. The couple began to avoid anybody who might suspect what was going on, including family members. All right. His story is similar to many of the 26,000 men officially listed as victims of domestic violence in Germany 1 year. Official German figures also show that nearly 20% of the domestic violence are men. Society doesn't recognize that there are also vulnerable men. Men who are not perpetrators but victims. All right. And so let me just get past all this. The blows he received from his partner were not the worst aspect of their relationship. The pain from the psychological violence went much deeper. One day she was standing in front of me. She took off her bathrobe and was naked. Then she started beating herself, scratching herself, shouting, "Stop it, ow, that hurts." So there I was standing in front of her, immobilized, asking myself, what's this all about? And when she finished her assault, she got back into her bathrobe before pulling a small recorder out of her pocket. That's really a fine thing, a little dictating of voice. It's my joke, she said, and left her room. Then she threatened to blackmail him if he told anybody about her violence. Tammy felt paralyzed. He didn't dare step out of line. I was so scared of losing face. in society are losing out professionally and not in any way of being seen as a victim, but as a perpetrator. And with fear, you can hold people down and lock them in. Right. So to this point, I'm just going to get to his escape. So the realization that things cannot go, this cannot go on, came to Tammy right out of the blue. The turning point is when I had a sore throat and took a lift from home from work. In fact, I should have been heading directly to the next pharmacy, but that wasn't possible because my daily journey home was mapped out to the last detail with telephone calls along the route to make sure that I was on my way. That made me so helpless. Imagine what it's like. So I decided not to go home ever again. He helped himself to escape from a toxic relationship. What was I missing back then? Somewhere I could turn with all my fears and worries, especially as a man. That's why I later set up a self-help group where it became clear to me just how many men there are with all sorts that needed help. So literally with this gentleman, we literally can see the same thing that men, like, I think, like, it's almost like if it doesn't have a sex, you know, it's just someone who has these manipulative tools to operate, you know. So I want to get y'all opinion on that, because, like, the stuff like making sure that person's always home, the emotional blackmail, the stuff, the controlling, the all this other stuff, and then literally her blaming on her childhood or something bad that happened to her, some type of trauma, in order to keep him in line, you know. And the only way that he got out is that he just decided not to go home ever again. So that's crazy.
And see, domestic violence and sexual assault are based on power and control dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the control issues, the need to look better, be better, the need to be dominant. All that comes from power and control issues.
I mean, what's y'all opinion on this before I move to the next thing real quick?
Man, that's crazy,
right,
bro. That's crazy, bro. I mean, just the fact that she was like, you know, make it like she was hurt or something like that with all the little recordings and all that stuff. That's just, you know, that's manipulation on a high level I can think of, man. That's just crazy. But it happens, no doubt in my mind. Because, you know,
right,
like they get around their friends and whatnot. You know, they tell one side of the story and they told believers and all that. And so, you know, without even talking to the man, you know, they're going to look at him a certain way anyway. And thinking he's doing all the shit. The brother ain't done nothing. But, you know, they just,
right,
you know, they love that woman's opinion.
If he reported her at all, then she would say, recording to prove it.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
It's crazy, man.
That's where it crosses over from being an impulse thing to manipulation. When it goes from, we had an argument and one thing led to another, it goes from that to just blatantly setting up something to make it look like hurting her. So she has recorded evidence that he's doing something to her, so that if he ever complains about the fact that she puts her hands on him, that he can never end the argument because she's going to go to court with that lie on tape.
I hate to get political with it, but I look at the situation now with the, you know, with these politicians. They go out and say one thing they know is true, and all the little simple-minded followers and sheep, they just automatically believe it. Now, they don't even want to hear the truth. You know what I mean? Kind of the same thing to me, but anyway, I digress. Proceed.
Well, I mean, just to add a bit of truth to the situation, my situation is not much different. She attacked me. And I just restrained her. And then she made up this cockamamie story of everything. And the funny thing is, like, you know, thank God for Sixth Sense and everything else, because literally he was punching me And like then she started swinging for my face, and that's when I decided to restrain her. And I was like, and I was talking to her as calm as I could, and be like, yo, listen. I was like, I'll let you up. You got to promise not to hit me. You know, she's yelling and screaming, doing all sorts of stuff. And my daughter's like, oh, let her up, Dad. You know, and she's like, that's it. You know, and she was yelling and screaming. She's like, get out of my house. You know, and I was like, it doesn't work that way. You can't just throw me out because you're mad. And then she decided at that point that she was going to make up some craziness. It was probably like the scariest. Like, that's what literally made me homeless for 4 months. And I was so ashamed that I didn't tell. I got this, and I keep saying the same thing. I had my mother and my father and 3 of my brothers in the same city, and I did not tell them squat. And the whole thing about her making things, like, the crazy thing was when the police, you know, and they had on sap gloves the whole nine when they came to the house, right? And the first thing they said, listen, we checked your record. There's nothing on your record. Such and such, you know, but they was like, she said that the house was tore up, that she had bruises. They tried to take pictures of her. She wouldn't take pictures. And it's like most victims don't immediately go get a restraining order. Somebody has to force them to go get a restraining order or tell them about a restraining order that they need to get. It was like she went in and then they looked at the paperwork and they was like, these two things don't match up. And because they don't match up, like, I've never seen police officers say, take your time. If you got to take all day, you can take all day. We'll just sit here with you. Take all day. They was like, so, and it was crazy because they was like, we've seen some good men get taken down. I've never been in a situation where I've had police lend me their understanding. But even still, you know, she had everybody believing in this story that was absolutely not true. And it was because of what she wanted to do. And the thing was, like, when we think about emotional abuse, it doesn't come in the same form that people think it comes in, especially if you deal with somebody who's a malignant narcissist who's used to doing these things. Some of the things that he talks about in the story where somebody's trying to control every aspect of it. Like, she used to do shit like come and take my car. From like I'd be at work, she'd come and take the car. So the car's in my name, so I'm taking your car. And I was like, didn't matter if I pay for it. Like, she did that to me, like, multiple times. Like, it was nuts. Like, she would literally come and take my car. And imagine you walk out to your parking lot. She got no car. And she was just on it, like, the need to control certain things or to do certain things or to, you know, craziness. And just in the whole idea of being a part of something with someone and you're still trying to hold on to them and trying to keep your family together and everything else like that. Like, some of the things that me and my kids talk about now is some of the stuff that was completely unfair that she did. You know, but in that sense, like, if it wasn't the physical violence, it was the psychological violence. It was the emotional, you know, way that she manipulated things in order to make those things happen. And so men can get caught up in the whole idea. Like, and I think I told the story about, like, me overpaying the rent. And she was, like, breaking stuff in the house. Like that was her thing. Like, she'd go crazy. She'd start breaking stuff. And I'd be like, oh, my God, you know. It would cause me all kinds of effect because it would take me back to where my mother would break stuff, and she would be upset. And then I realized that with her, I was literally trying to go back to who I was as a little boy and save my mother. And it was my mother's actual thing. And my father was just a strong person. He's like, listen, I'm not dealing with this. You know, to the point that my father even kidnapped us and put us up in the mountains. Crazy. Anyway, that's beside the point.
Yeah, I like that whole psychological abuse, man. I think that doesn't get touched on enough, really, that psychological abuse, because it's like, you know, that catch-22, you know, living situation. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. You know, you can't win no matter what you do.
That's true. That's absolutely true. But hold on, let me get into the thing. All right, so the other question is, which I'm really mad. All right, so I wanted to talk about the Instagram model who murdered her boyfriend. Right, we did put the thing up in the chat. We were talking about the Instagram model, murder her boyfriend. But before I do that, before we get into that, you know, we have to do our station identification, of course, which is always important, you know.
Javi, you all right?
I was going to say, did we get knocked off?
I'm still here. I'm just... Javi, you all right?
Yeah, were you at Hub?
No, he just dropped. His host line just dropped.
Oh, okay.
Gotta wait for him to call back in.
Yeah, I'll get a promo call. Give me a second.
Hey, Vank, can I touch on something real quick, though?
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I got a friend of mine was over the house this past weekend, man, and he was telling me, we were talking about, different online groups and all that type of stuff, and he's saying his partner, hooked up with this girl in one of the groups, little meet and greet type thing, but the girl had set him up, her dude was in, the apartment next door and all that, so when he got there, they robbed and killed him, man. Yeah, threw him, dropped him off on the motherfucking highway near me, man. But it's like crazy, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious, man. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you get mixed up in that room, little hobbies and all that. Yeah, my bad. But, yeah, go ahead, I'll be back.
All right, I'm sorry. Because it was weird, I just had the weirdest experience on the face of the planet. Something straight up just kicked me off the whole thing. And it was some type of, I've been having problems with hackers lately. So somebody was, I guess they were trying to get to me through my phone or something like that. I don't know. And whatever they did kicked me off. But it left their name. It left their name of where they live at. I was like, okay, Ron Juan from Seattle, Washington. Trying to hack my phone.
Wow.
It's crazy. So, it's crazy as that sounds, but, I'm going to try to make sure I call everybody individually for that, but I need to do this, what's it called? Station identifier. So give me 1 second while I get this going. And away we go. Welcome back to Epiphany Radio Universe Presents World Council. We are talking about domestic violence. Can men suffer abuse? I'm joined by my good people of the World Council, Danielle, Van, Lisa Lips, Omari, Joe, the Verbal Mind Dancer, the good brother Dawood, and Edwina, who strolled up in here. Quick fast, was in here being quiet. in here being quiet. So I wanted to talk about the Instagram model who murdered her boyfriend, right? So one of the things that was worse about the case is that she basically lied and said these different things happened. But as the case went on, basically she stayed free for 4 months while the police decided what to charge her with. She was on vacation. She went on vacation when they decided to come back and get her. So So then they discovered that as they pull these videos and they find out that she was the aggressor the whole entire time. And so when we're looking at the video, because I'm not gonna play the sound from it, but they're in an elevator, right? And you see her just straight up trying to hit him in his head the whole time. She's not trying to hit him in the body. She's going for his head, his face. She's trying to cause damage to him, you know, in his head area. And you see him trying to keep her off. He puts her in a headlock. He lets her go. And he's trying to get off the elevator. And she's just staying trying to hit him, right? So, actually, thank you. Somebody's listening to it. They said that she was violent towards him on camera. She was vacationing in Hawaii. They played it like she was in rehab. So, the two questions I want to ask, and I'm gonna actually like ask people so we're not fumbling over each other, is one, right? I'm gonna leave the racial element for last. But why was it they didn't believe that she could murder him beforehand? And so I'm gonna just run straight through. I'm gonna start at the bottom, work my way to the top. Let's try to make sure that we get everybody a chance to speak. So I'm gonna start with you, Edwina. What is your opinion? Why do you think that they just allowed her to rock the way that they did?
Well, I believe it's too often the system is skewed in favor of believing the female is the victim. And I've seen lately a lot of examples of that. So a lot of times I think that could be the reason. If you want to leave the racial element out of it until the end, I understand. I think that plays a part. But definitely I've seen where they often believe the female side of the story. And they leave the male to, like, defend himself in any way that he can. Anything except violence, if he results to violence, then, you know, they'll be quick to pick him up. But that's the reason I think it is. They automatically believe her in whatever story she spun.
Okay. Dawood.
The question is, why did they think he couldn't murder him? I'll pass on this one because we're not using race yet. Because to me, it's all race.
Okay. So I'm going to go from you to Joe. Joe, your opinion.
My opinion is why they didn't do anything before, because I think it was like that Vernon Bear scenario. I think they figured that, you know, it just built up, you know, so long inside her. He was doing so much, and it built up inside her that she finally released. So they thinking that, you know, my opinion is they looking at that aspect, you know. He'd been doing so much wrong for her, she just finally flipped and went on him. And, you know, without even knowing the situation, they automatically thinking he'd done something and built up for her to react to him like that.
Oh, okay. All right, Omari.
So I think a lot of our hypotheticals come from some of the things we've heard or experienced. So I'd rather get more into what case studies have shown for this. And that is, and this, you know, this might upset the brothers, but we got to keep it real. Men are so overwhelmingly the aggressors in domestic violence situations that the exception is when a woman commits the act. So the expectation is that the woman is innocent. There's a misnomer about about how often women are not believed to be innocent, though. In fact, a higher percentage of women do felony time for domestic violence, and that's because they usually wind up using a weapon and it becomes a murder. And they wind up doing felony time, life sentences, pretty often, comparatively speaking. But one thing that we have to do as a culture, as men, is start holding men accountable for domestic violence and stopping and working to stop violence in general, because it's become such a prevalent thing, a prevalent action in our community, and it always starts with the people who do it abundantly. But women, you know, when a woman commits an act, you know, it's quite often a man kills a woman and doesn't do any time, right? So that's when there's nobody else there to tell the story. A lot of times it's really hard to prosecute based on limited information. So there's a mixed bag of things that go on here. There's a lot of case studies out there that we can look into and get into for more information.
Okay. All right. Lisa Lips.
I think that the reasoning for her being pretty much left to her own devices is that the automatic assumption in a case is that the man had to have done something for her to do what she did. So the thought process is that she's not the aggressor, that she was defending herself. So they give the benefit of the doubt and allow her freedom, whereas if it were the other way around, a man would be locked up automatically and assumed that he was the aggressor from the beginning. People assume that that a woman killed in response to what a man has done, and not in fact that she's just the aggressor. So women are allowed to be let free in these situations sometimes, whereas if it were the other way around, a man would be locked up.
That's true. Well, you guys.
So, all right, so Bill, I'm going to go from you, Lisa, to Van.
All right, what was the question again, bro? I'm starting to sound like that. What was the question we answering, bro?
Well, I'm sorry. It's funny because, we're getting a lot of callers right now. And if you want to weigh in on the topic, please call in. The number is 319-527-6300, plus one. We just had another call come in. Area code 470, who may I be speaking? Area code 470. Hello? Area code 470.
Yo, it's Vaughn. What's up?
Huh? Area code 614.
Brother, this is Wendell.
Hello? Oh, hey.
Wendell, what's good, bro?
Peace to the family. Sorry, I'm so late, y'all.
That's okay. It's a party. All right, we're glad to have you. I'm just going to find out one more time. Area code 470, who master speaking? This is who? I can't hear you. You have to talk louder.
This is Mr. Yes Lord. How you doing, sir?
Oh, okay. What's going on, man? I couldn't hear you talking all low. Deep voice.
Oh, no, I think it was the Bluetooth. So I was eating.
All right. So, you know what? I'm going to go to Van. So the question was, why do you think that they didn't immediately prosecute her? Why do you think that they let her rock?
I kind of feel what Ms. Lips was saying about trying to really determine if she was provoked or if there was a reason behind why it happened. Basically, to try and really say that she didn't do it out of, you know, out of malicious intent, if you will.
Okay.
Well, we're talking about the white girl and the black guy, though, right? That's what we're talking about, right? The Instagram,
yeah.
Model, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So no one mentioned race, but we have to put it out there, because if that was a sister and a white guy, she'd have been found guilty right away, without question. But then the video surfaces about her being aggressive in an elevator. It shouldn't have to take that much. It should have been an immediate investigation, not a prolonged one. 4 months and you're still on vacation. You're still having a good time, yet this man is dead.
Well, I mean, you're definitely right. All right, so I'm going to from you, I'm going to go to Danielle, and I'm going to loop back around. So, Danielle, your opinion.
Okay. I was following this case. The number one factor why they allowed her to have her freedom and do whatever she wanted to do after she killed him is money. Her father is rich. He is in a high position. And this is her abusive ways was not news, especially to the man's family. They have been telling him and telling him and telling him for a long time to leave her alone. But this just, you know, with her being a white woman, okay, and then money to back her, that played a major part, I believe, in why she was allowed to run free for 4 months after she had done that. But this has been building and building and building. That woman has a history of being physically abusive towards that man. Like I said, it wasn't a secret. But things are hidden. They swept under the rug. When you have the money, this is what they do. So even if she hadn't been the aggressor, it still would have taken time. They still would have allowed her because of the financial situation. She made it seem like he was doing this with her money and he was doing that with her money and all kinds of crazy stuff, but she had been abusive from the door. And he chose to stay in that relationship. So that's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, you know, I'm going to talk about the elephant in the room. And I'm going to actually loop back around. I'm going to go to Dawood, and then I'm going to go to Wendell and Brian. Let's talk about the racial aspect of this. Because, you know, we talked about the financial, we talked about the question of anything else that's going on. But clearly, because he was black, because anything else was going on, so that was your opinion on that.
I mean, it's really simple, bro. Like, of course, the factor into the whole thing. It wasn't the factor of whether it was possible or not. It was more so, he was a black person, so he deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
And they only really pay attention to stuff when embarrass them in some form. So attention gets to it. Imagine these situations happen before we had social media and, like, you know, spread information. You know, now they got, you know, years ago, the people got away with a lot of stuff. Honestly, it was a gender thing per se, more so a racial thing. Because I think that if that was reported by a white dude, he absolutely positively a lot faster, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to go from you to Wendell. Wendell, what's your opinion?
Well, I mean, this is the same story, just on a different day. The over sexualization of, you know, of black bodies, and the supposed fragility of white women put together, stir it around in the pot and mix it up, and you end up with an explosive situation that results in the death of a black man. The fact that he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. If he fights back, he's going to be viewed as an abusive man beating up on a helpless white woman. If he doesn't fight back, he is asking for whatever it is that she gives to him, because the presupposition is that, you know, women can't hurt men, and, you know, her hits hurt less. Well, until her hits result in him, in his death, and then he'll be blamed for not leaving and for not turning her in. No matter what, he's the victim, but she's, no, he's a victim, but she is the victim. And that's all the way back to the days of Emmett Till, you know, and regardless of the evidence that needs to be presented, that is glaringly obvious, it is always going to result in the fragility of, you know, of the white woman, and the over masculinization of the black male, which means that he is inherently dangerous. And in this case he had to stifle the perception of his inherent of his apparent and perceived masculinity, over masculinity, in comparison to her white fragility, and that was weaponized against him. His skin is a weapon, and he is the victim of his own skin.
All right, so I'm gonna go from you, Wendell. Good points made. To Ryan, Walking Erotica, your opinion.
To be honest, I'm not totally privy to the situation, but just listening to everybody talk, I was actually thinking about it psychologically, and I think as men, we got to stop babysitting our women, and I'm talking to the good guys. Babysitting as far as allowing certain behaviors to go so long without being talked about or anything like that, and take your accountability that you're enabling shit. I know it's gonna take a while before men actually like really get to this type of shit, but it's a difference between understanding when something is happening or a situation occurs, and another thing where you know that it's coming and you still do nothing about it. And most likely, he probably got the same guy, probably, you know, enabled the same behaviors in previous relationships. Because certain behaviors, no matter, you know, what your build is, if something is abnormal to you, you're going to check it immediately, especially if it's something that you don't. But those, yeah, those.
Okay. All right, so here's a couple of things. I got this from Thought Catalog. And it was talking about these horrifying stories of what it is. And the one thing that seems to be happening, which I think we're going to go over into the signs of domestic abuse, and then we're going to switch topics because we're going to go on to this thing that we had in the Hive chat. I mean, not in the Hive chat, geez, look at me. In the War Council chat. I was like, in the War Council chat that we're going to bring up. I'll talk about love and relationships. All right, so this one, and they're all real short. He's like, my last ex was pretty controlling,
but I never guessed she would result in violence when I tried to break up with her. I sat her down, explained to her that I didn't want to be in a relationship anymore. But when I tried to leave, she dug her fingernails into my arms and wouldn't let me go. I tried to remove her hand, but she dug her fingernails in even harder. I pushed her off me, at which point she looked like I hit a small puppy because men aren't allowed to push girls. She retaliated by punching me in the nose. Blood was getting everywhere. Instead of trying to calm her down again, I ran out her bedroom and burst into a roommate's room where she and her boyfriend were hanging out. They knew what was going on immediately. The boyfriend restrained my girlfriend and gave me enough time to run out the front door. The roommate ran after me saying, "I don't care how big you are, you can't take that view since you're fine." I broke down right there and wept like a schoolgirl. Glad that's over with, and I found someone who makes me very happy. And then he included a picture of his arm of where clearly after a year, the scars of her nails digging in, like she basically went past the layers, right? This other one was no personal boundaries. He's like, we had an argument, suddenly it escalated, and she started to hit me repeatedly. This included low blows. I left immediately, called it off, told her to get out of my life. She proceeded to stalk and harass me over the next several months. It was annoying, mostly harmless. She would mostly leave me degrading notes in various places, such as my car. It all occurred in public places until she managed to leave me a message in my home while I was away. I was terrified that she had been there. I didn't feel safe at home afterwards. I proceeded to obtain a domestic violence restraining order against her in court and won the case. She's been out of my life ever since. None of her actions indicated to me that she wanted to severely injure me, but she did want the control over me, the ability to lash out whenever she wanted to. She had little respect for my personal boundaries. The violence was primarily of an emotional, terrorizing nature rather than a constant physical threat. Right? This one is, old girlfriend was visiting out of town for work. We were having a good time, so I thought. Some conversations about relationships that she didn't like, nothing resembling an argument or a fight. I guess she thought her coming out to visit would turn into a long-term relationship. Anyway, well, one night we're watching a movie. She goes upstairs and gets up and eat. While she's upstairs, she starts yelling at me out of nowhere and throws a large pot of soup down the stairs, then some dishes, then comes downstairs and throws a hammer at me, which sticks in the wall, then a jar candle. Then she tries to stab me with a broken jar. This is all out of nowhere, no exaggeration. I paused the movie, she went upstairs, and then just flipped out. Eventually, she calms down, and I'm terrified of calling the police, knowing that I'd probably go to jail. So I encourage her to sleep. The next day, I tell her she can't stay here after what happens. I pay for a hotel room just to get her out of my house. She goes to stay with family in another town, and I guess she tells them how we got in a fight and who knows what else. Anyway, 2 days later, after she left my house, I'm home playing Skyrim with my daughter when the police come. They ask me if I put my hands on her. I say no, and then I'm arrested, and I'm going to jail. Now I'm out on bail on a form of probation while I wait to set a trial date that can take up to a year. All right. So we're seeing some of these cases where men are responding anonymously. Oh, wow. Responding anonymously to the things that are actually happening in real time. So in these abusive cases, we lost that. Ooh, that's terrible. What are some of the signs that you think that you, if you knew somebody, if you know a male or have known a male that's been domestically abused, what are the signs that we should look for or something? So, and we can just run this through. I want to try to, like, just have everybody hop through and just be free about it, but let's try not to trip over ourselves. So what are some signs you think that you would look for if you know somebody's being abused?
Them suddenly in a relationship, all of a sudden they are becoming more and more isolated from their family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Him not being argumentative with her when they are around family. Okay, this is touchy for me because I lost a nephew to his children's mother from abusing him. And we saw little signs here and there. Every so often he would pop up with a bruise, a bad one. And when we questioned him about it, she was always right there. She never let him go anywhere by itself. she would jump up and say, oh, he's clumsy, or he gets high and he has these fits. And him just becoming very passive when it comes down to that female. His whole body language starts to change from the person that you've known all your life to just somebody different. There are a lot of little subtle signs that we didn't catch and put the, we caught them, but we didn't put them together until it was too late.
Yeah, I was.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say also, like Danielle was saying, behavior. I know years ago I had an abusive relationship, and we were very close. We grew up like brother and sister. And I ran into them somewhere one day, and I went to hug him, and he stepped away. I was like, what the hell was that? You know? And I just started paying attention to the fact that I never saw him without her, and I never was able to get in touch with him unless she was, like, talking, standing right there, too. And I, like, he was not going places that he used to go, and I started paying attention to it. So one Sunday in church, he had come to church with his mother, and she hadn't come, and I asked him what was going on, and he tried to cover it, and I was like, look, I know what I'm seeing, and I know how you are. We've known each other our whole lives, and I know that something's not right. So something needs to change before you end up getting really hurt. And about 2 weeks after that, they were out together at a club somewhere, and she got mad about something, and she left out of the building. He went out looking for her. She was in the car waiting for him, saying she wanted to go. And as soon as he got in the car, she hit the locks, and she had a broom handle. She started beating him inside the car. And I ended up calling the cops that night, and that's how he got away from her. But the behavior changes are like really pronounced. So, yeah, those kinds of things.
Wow.
Yeah, somebody breathing mad hard into their phone.
yeah, that's true. Somebody's breathing hard in the phone. You can hear it.
Yeah. If I may, I was just going to say, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Marshall.
No, I said no. Go ahead. You say if I may. I said.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. For men that are in relationships, for me, what I've noticed, if any type of abuse is going on, physical or mental, they will not look you in the eye. Because in a relationship, the man is supposed to be, you know, the brawn strength, at least the display of it. And I've known some guys who've been in situations like that, and I didn't know it then, but it took me a while to figure out, you know, that was one of my.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, just whenever you see the person, just, it's like they change right in front of your face. The person that you want to do, you see them consciously second-guessing themselves and beginning to stifle themselves and demur and make themselves small, especially when they're around that abusive, you know, that abusive partner. And the funny thing about it is, it gets so, like, in the situation of, you know, women towards their men, like, they call it training a man. And it's really just, is really, it's actually just a abuse. When you are one way to get someone, and then you switch up, and it's like you pull the rug out from underneath their feet, and now they're completely discombobulated, and they have to reacclimate themselves to, you know, to the woman in order to keep from triggering her. And I think that's one of the things that men do in relationships a lot of times, is that they will, in order to, you know, kind of show that they're honoring that woman, that they will change fundamental aspects of themselves, especially when challenged in front of other people, like a power play, and it's training. It's like a pimp slow walking there, you know, a young girl that they're trying to train for the streets. You know, you praise them early and dog them late. You know, there's that aspect, especially when you get into abusive relationships. It's where the person is constantly second guessing themselves around their partner in hopes of not setting them off. So, you know, walking on eggshells and trying to avoid the hidden landmines that can set that partner off and cause, you know, embarrassment or, God forbid, you know, a physical altercation, in which case, you know, that man is, again, he can't really fight back. All he can really do is try to, you know, get away from the situation, but God forbid he raises his hands, you know, and tries to, you know, and fights back, throws a blow back, and now he's abusive, even though he's clearly the victim of an assault. So yeah, you know, all of these are signs. Making oneself small, walking on eggshells and all that stuff.
Yeah, Mo, I just wanted to add, part of the isolation I mentioned earlier, and part of what some other folks mentioned, everything will be about what so-and-so wants to do, right? What are you going to do today? Oh, whatever so-and-so wants to do. So-and-so has to do this. So-and-so. So it'll be all about the partner that's being violent. It'll be all about what everything will always be about, what their preference is, what they want to do, what their plans are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Well, you know, the funny thing is, which I think is crazy, is that it's not crazy. When we were looking at some of the signs and you know, some of the things that we missed, that we was like, the intimate partner calls the victim names, insults them, and constantly criticizes them. The intimate partner tries to prevent the victim from leaving the house, getting a job, or going to school. The intimate partner isolates the victim from friends or family. Know what that is? The intimate partner threatens to out as gay, bisexual, or transgender person. The intimate partner acts jealous and accuses the other party of misconduct. The intimate partner makes a threat or mentions of having a weapon. The intimate partner physically harms the victim by hitting, punching, slapping, biting, choking, kicking, otherwise inflicting physical harm. The intimate partner abuses or threatens to abuse the victim's child or pet. The intimate partner forces the victim to engage in unwanted sexual behavior. The intimate partner blames the victim for his or her behavior. You know, the funny thing is that...
Are you looking at the wheel? You looking at the wheel?
I'm not looking at the wheel. What do you mean I'm not?
Oh, no, it's a wheel. It's a diagram that breaks all of that down. I didn't know if you were looking at that.
Oh, no, I'm not looking at the wheel. No, I didn't have the wheel. This is the thing for the signs, but using myself as an example, right? When somebody prevents you doing something for a male from a perspective, right? So in my case, I was offered a job at a different university, right? And so when I worked at the university that I was at, I was under a lot of duress because, number one, my boss was crazy. And I was going through a lot of stuff where it was a lot of racial. I was being, like, treated a certain way. It was very hard to deal with because, like, these people sat together and they decided to, like, work against me. And it was like being able to see something but not being able to touch it, not being able to tell anybody because basically they can do whatever they need to do. And even though their behavior was outlandish, it was like I felt like I was walking on eggshells all the time at my job, no matter how good I did my job. Even though, you know, in my role at that job, I was doing fantastic. But people will make you feel like crazy. So this is my boss type of person where you know that you don't pay for phone calls for state. But she went and she's like, oh, you're going to have to pay me $35 because you've been calling. Now, never mind, I called every day at the same time, that, you know, because I was away from my kids. So I would call them the same time every day when they got home from school or something, you know, because I wasn't there with them. You know, but she went through my phone calls and said, you're making personal phone calls. And she didn't even care about what it is I had kids, right? So literally their mother decided that if I didn't do what she needed to do, that she was going to call my boss and say whatever she's going to say to her in order to put the pressure on me to get what I got to go. It was like one of the first times I ever felt someone manipulated me so clearly, like with so much, like put so much energy into the manipulation of me to get me to do what they wanted. Because I was deathly afraid, like, of different things. And it was funny because my boss was trying to manipulate me, too. And it was like they had this thing called the Fireside Chat for this thing called Student African-American Brotherhood. And they had asked me to participate in it. And she's like, you don't even know your job. You shouldn't be participating. I said, this has nothing to do with my job. This has me as a black male working as an older person. And she was trying to get me to not do her job. And if I had any sense, I should have took myself right over to HR and told them what she was doing to me. But because I was in that type of situation with her, I told my exes, and she used it to leverage the fuck out of me. And I got leveraged. Like, I just put it to you this way, right? Imagine getting paid, putting your money in the bank. You go to buy, like, food for lunch, and you have no money in it. And you're thinking that you have money, and you're paying like $2 for a soup, and you ain't got $2 to pay for soup. And she then took all the money out of the account. And then basically was like, I'll give you the money that you need in order for you to do whatever. You tell me what you need for this. And you couldn't tell nobody. Like, I couldn't tell nobody that happened to me. I was like, what happened to the money? I had to pay bills. I had to do this. I had to do that. You don't care what happens to your family. You don't. You're just away. You're just living the life of Riley. You're just such and such. You're not here. I have to be here every day. I have to make sure that these kids eat. I have to make sure that they have stuff. I gotta make sure that the house has. See that sound? Sound crazy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I was up against. That's what I was going through, to the point where it builds on you psychologically to the point where you no longer want to tell people your situation. And the fucked up thing is, at the time, I didn't have supportive people in my life that would tell me it was okay, you need to go see. I only had one friend, right? I had one friend at that time, like, and he was the special counsel, investigative counsel for what you call it? He's like, yo, what do you want to do? He's like, you want to do this? You want to do that? He said, I'm going to tell you, this is what happened to me. This is what's happening to you. You need to get away from this person. Quick as possible. You know? And it's nuts. But anyway, going back to the original thing before we get into it. I want to ask the ladies, ladies that might have experienced domestic violence of some sort, and I know we have some people on council that has, and you don't have to speak about it if you don't want to, but I specifically want to talk to Danielle. Danielle, does this sound identical? Does the behavior sound identical to what you've been through?
Oh, yeah. And I absolutely
changed. My demeanor, my behavior, my body language was different because of it wasn't physical abuse. It was verbal and mental. It was a psychological thing with him. He had me horrified that I was going to lose my children. Him manipulated me so bad. He isolated me from my family. All of that. All the classic behavior of an abuser and an abused person, that's what went on in my relationship. So, yeah. And it isn't easy to get out of it, especially when there are children involved, because when you are naive and you don't know, it's easy for that person to control you. And it takes a lot to try and get out of that, to find out who you actually are and the real power that you have that you can take back. But yeah, it sounds exactly like what I went through.
Does anyone else would like to share if you have any experience that you want to? I know that we are joined by Gina Storm and I believe Jared. Jared, yeah.
Hey Mojave, how you doing, bro?
What's going on? How you feeling, bro?
I was just trying to get the vibe and engage on what everything was going on. So I wouldn't want to make a comment as of now.
Okay, cool. All right, so I know Gina Storm just came in. Gina, might be the same thing for you. I know y'all thought it might have been a poetry show, but not tonight. It's War Council. But we're talking about domestic violence being experienced by against men. That's what we're talking about this evening.
I didn't need a mic, Mojave. I knew what it was. I'm happy to be here. Thank you. Happy Tuesday. I'm thrilled to be here listening to everything that's being said because I'm the only daughter that my parents had. I have two biological brothers and 14 that were adopted or fostered over a 10-year period. So I grew up with 16 brothers. And people always say, you didn't have a sister yet. No, I did not. So you see men being abused when you have that many brothers. The math is leaning in the direction of men not saying anything, yet suffering in silence. So for a lot of years, my go-to was violence. Like, I knew my brothers wouldn't hit a girl, but I will. Who did it? What happened? They didn't even have to give me the details. Like, just be upset or, oh, my goodness, if one of my brothers is crying, somebody getting beat up. But I've come a long way since then. That was a long time ago. It wasn't a long, long time ago. But like I said, it's in my past. But the reality is I know a lot of men who have been in abusive situations and would not say because they thought they would be judged and not. And they didn't believe that anybody would believe them for one or for two, ask them why they didn't defend themselves. How? Real men don't hit women. So, and sometimes the women that are abusing you are not using their hands, using their mouth or their wallet or their physical attributes, their feminine wiles, whatever it is, mind control, I don't know, voodoo, magic, whatever they're doing that's making my brothers cry, upset, feel like they can't be them. Me, it's abusive because I understood it. Because I was both domestic violence survivor and perpetrator. So I'm fully and forever against domestic violence in any aspect or any gender.
Okay, thank you, Gina. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Mahat.
All right. So, all right. Yes.
You know what? I'm so glad that you're having this topic. I'm going to have to go back in the archives and get this out, man. A lot of things that are going on with the men are running parallel to the women. The same motivators are going on there. I think that a conversation like this that you're having is going to start showing a lot of the parallels that are going on there, so we can go ahead and stamp out the culture more so than just trying to pick out the one individual. A lot of boys grew up in homes where it was only the mother there. The mother was a certain way. She could have been bittered about by the father, or the father could have been around, but he could have been useless. I think once this conversation starts really getting out in the open, like you're pushing it today, bro, that we'll start going ahead and putting those parallels together and start coming up with some comprehensive solutions. The same way that, you know, they did the campaign for Just Say No, or whatever it is, or with a woman's body, you know. If she says no, that means no. You know, if they want to go ahead and get this out here and have this something on both sides that would do some healing, they know how to do it. A lot of guys say that they want dominant women. And when they get these dominant women, one or two things happen. Well, a few things can happen, but two of the downsides is you can start trying to stop her from being dominant immediately by putting restrictions on her that he didn't have while he was dating her or what may have you. Or she could put him under the thumb. And these are just two outcomes I'm talking about. There's a lot of positive sticking over there because I myself prefer a dominant woman. But there's doubt there. I'm going to go ahead and shut it out there, Mahal. Appreciate you, bro.
No, I appreciate you, too, Jared. You know, since we were talking about this subject, it's been a lot to talk about it, but the one thing that I think that we've identified is the fact that a lot of things that are happening, like I know for a fact that some of the people I've been around, I've been in situations, they, you know, that are women, they've experienced these type of things with their men. And I think that because men underreport, you know, 7 to 14, you know, times under reporting, we know that there's a greater case for this. And actually, a statistic that blew my mind that I found out was that during the 70s, it was almost even between men and women abusing each other. And then it shot up as it moved into the 80s with more men. But that could also be due to the underreporting because of that. But we're going to move on from the topic, and we're going to talk about this one thing that happened. There's one story that I put in the War Council group about the nuclear revenge for the guy, right? So long story short, the man literally was with his wife, you know, and basically he was raised by a single mother, right? He was raised by a single mother, and so his mother was very much tantamount in his life and everything else that was going on. And so with his wife, he was basically taking care of everything. She didn't work, or she worked part-time, or anything else was going on. And so it got to the point where his father-in-law had an accident that disabled him from the hips down, so he could no longer do that. He was the major earner of that. So in order to save money, he moved, you know, the father-in-law, the mother-in-law, and the sister-in-law into his house. And then he told his wife that she had to get a job because he was already an executive. And he's like, you're going to have to do something, you know, because I'm already handling all the bills, the groceries, and everything else like that. You know, and you're going to have to provide for that, because eventually his mother had a stroke and he had to take care of her. And his wife was, like, saying to him, like, why don't you pay for the nurses? It's going to be too hard. Can't your mother stay at the hospital, all this other stuff? And he's like, nah, you're going to have to take care of your father. I'll take care of everything else. Now, he has a daughter with her, right? And so the funny thing is his daughter has been cold towards him, like, and he's trying to figure out why she's so cold and everything else. And then eventually what happens is that he finds out through going through his daughter's phone that the mother has been cheating on him this whole time, because first they were having like a dynamic sex life. Like he was always like, oh, I'm okay with that. You want to have a girl's trip, you know, go ahead, do this, you know, and go do all this other stuff. And then on his birthday, like she decides to do something else, like anything else. So when he goes through his daughter's phone, he finds all this information, like all the vacations and breaks she's been going with. He's like basically – she's been in a serious relationship with this dude while he's married to her. And so what he decides to do is basically, he basically decides to get revenge, right? And he basically disowns his daughter. He divorces his wife, like, and he basically gets her out of it, like, almost everything because of all the stuff that happens because he set everything up a particular way, right? So one of the things that we were arguing about in the chat was, like, the fact of him disowning his daughter, you know, and his daughter basically, as she goes into her adult years, like, she's basically trying to pay her father back for every penny, and she wants him in her life, but the mother ends up in a mental institution, the grandmother dies, the father dies, his mother dies, and the thing is, like his wife was doing all kinds of crazy stuff, like asking him to do like sexual things that were out of control, and basically take his money to buy a house in her mother's name, and the two sisters would work to pay back his inheritance, like, and it was all the dude's fault, and then he find out that the dude who his wife was sleeping with basically made a bet to sleep with her, and then it turned into love. So, that being said, everybody was in there. What is your opinion about if your wife cheats on you? Do you disown your kid because the kid was a part of it, or what is the next thing that you would do in order to maintain or not maintain a relationship with your family?
Wow! Wow!
Just some death made the damage.
I did look at
what
the
would
whole
you do?
Thing and saw the whole story. I had a problem with him being so distant with his child. I mean, I get that he was hurt by the things that she said and that she had helped the mother cover it up. I get all of that, but that's still your flesh and blood. The wife is another story. You know, she did what she did, and she had to suffer her consequences. But I thought that he was a bit harsh for the daughter. Because he even in court had asked to basically be removed from her birth certificate. That's a lot.
I don't think I would have taken it that far as to disown her, but I would be somewhat distant with her. Being pissed because you knew what was going on. As a matter of fact, you were helping Mom do this to me. I don't think I would disown her. As far as the wife, she got whatever she deserved. But the child, it would have to be a lot of counseling involved between me and that child to help us come together some kind of way and keep communication open. Removal from the birth certificate, that is kind of harsh. But, I mean, it is what it is. I didn't see it because I haven't been online for a couple of days, but wow.
Yeah, how old was the daughter? The daughter in this situation. How old was the daughter in this situation?
The daughter was 17.
The daughter
bought everything.
17?
She was 17?
Yeah.
And how long had this relationship? How long were they married?
They had been married for over 20 years, but the affair had been going on for 4 years, and she was aware of it the entire time.
Oh, you're definitely going
and
to
don't
need
forget
some counseling.
That the daughter. But don't forget the daughter said to the boyfriend, "I wish you were my father." And that every major holiday and stuff that they had, every major holiday that they had, like his birthday, they were spending time with him, like he was his family, and they were taking pictures with the boyfriend, like they was a whole family, you know.
Wow.
Oh,
it sounds like there was a lot of brainwashing going on between the mother and the daughter, because I don't see why she would go against her father, and why she developed this bad taste in her mouth for her father.
But it wasn't just the father. If you watch the thing, he said he asked the mother if the mother knew, and the mother said that she knew. And then the sister-in-law, like when he started exacting the revenge, the sister-in-law called him up and was like trying to like press him out about all the stuff that he was doing. And then he asked the sister-in-law if she knew. And she knew at the same time. So it was like the whole family was in on it. And it was funny because the mother-in-law was like, you should move out of the house. Like, they were all, like, complicit in trying to get him to move out the house so that, you know,
the dude
they could
come
have
in.
What they wanted.
Right.
I'm gonna do that.
No, the other dude, no, no.
Didn't you say he had money though? Didn't you say he was he was well financially?
The husband wasn't financially well off. Yeah, he was not financially well off. He was living with his mother, and he had gotten with her originally on a bet that he could sleep with her with one of the other coworkers.
Wait a minute.
Answer to your question, Danielle. The husband was very well off. He had
money. Then she married for money. She married for money. She didn't love
him. No, she didn't marry for money. He worked to that. No. He worked.
Oh, he worked up to it.
Right.
He worked up to that.
Can I play devil's advocate?
He was worse. Yeah, go ahead.
He had to drop the ball somewhere. If they had went through a 4-year relationship, man, he dropped the ball in a lot of different places. He wasn't spending no time with that woman if she did that for 4 years and a daughter was in on it.
Because Lisa could tell you in the story, he was spending time with her. She started taking the time away from it, and then he was I want to go do this. She's like, I want
to
go.
She had to be showing signs, though, Mahavi. She had to.
He did notice the signs. He's like, why is she so distant? But he didn't do anything. Like, it was nothing that he did. That's the thing. The one thing that's important about this, it wasn't like he did anything. He was trying to have sex. He was like, we were having sex multiple times a week, and then it moved down to just one time a week. And then when he went away for 4 months, to do this to get a better job, like he went for a training, right? He came back, she had changed her hair. He said their sex life skyrocketed and all this other stuff. And then she started suggesting things, like she wanted him to be like, you know, like a gimp or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's probably what happened. Like, he just stopped being spontaneous.
His side, her side, the truth. So we don't know what happened, but somewhere along the line, something went wrong. It was some kind of neglect or some communication got broken or something went wrong. She didn't just do it out of the blue. She started feeling some kind of way. She may not have expressed it to him, and she probably figured he would figure it out on his own and he would try and fix it without her communicating like a lot of women do. They don't say anything. They just be like, he got to know, and this and this and that. And then they go off on some selfish shit, and they're like, fuck it. Somebody hollers at her and start making her feel pretty or whatever, and she gives into it. And then it becomes this relationship that lasts, and then it's messed up along the way because now the marriage is ruined. If she had opened her mouth in the beginning, and then she figured, well, shit, he got money, I may as well not say too much, you know. I'm gonna try and get him out the picture little bit by little bit, and then the manipulation with the daughter comes in, and the rest of the family is like, well, yeah, we on the side of you, we want the money too. But it's a fucked up situation, but I still don't think I would have disowned my child. I just would have been like, we need some therapy, seriously. But that wife, she needs to put her ass.
Fuck that, she was 17.
Nah, but the thing is that
I wouldn't have did the birth certificate though.
Yeah, that's
one of the reasons why I like the story. One of the reasons why I like the story is because in my divorce, my daughter went to court and she told the court, I was like, she made up, like, her and her mother made up all these crazy things. And then my son was like, oh no, I see my dad all the time, blah blah blah, such and such. He comes to get me, does all this other thing. And the thing that pissed me off is that the law guardian was like, okay, well, listen, you have custody of your son, but you could only see your daughter for dinner for an hour. And I was like, I don't want to see it. I was like, I don't want to see it. I was like, yo, so, like, I was like, the way that the law guardian had it set up, and until things were founded and they had to examine things, you know, whatever my ex told my daughter to do, my daughter did, you know. And so thank God for us, you know, reconnecting and do everything, and we have a much better relationship now. But in those days, I felt like I needed to, like, not even, you know, it was like crazy for me. Like, you know, it's almost like, you know, here's the child you love, you know, since she was conceived, and then she's like in here telling like the biggest lies because her mother told her to. So I can understand his feelings. I wouldn't disown her, but if you notice in the story, because Lisa, you know, in the story, the daughter, as she got older, like, she went to his lawyer and she had $20,000. She's like, whatever I can do to pay you back, I just want the relationship, because the mother ended up in a mental institution. The grandmother had died, you know, and then her right. paternal grandmother had already passed. And so she's basically in a thing. And then he had moved away and got a new wife. And the new wife was encouraging him to contact his daughter, because she was like, she's not going to have anything and she's going to keep going down this path unless you save her. And he was like questioning himself at the end of the story, you know. But the thing was, that was crazy about it, was that when he decided to destroy his wife and his daughter, like, he had made copies, and the dude that she cheated on him with, like, he was a charlatan, a big time charlatan. And she got him on tape confessing, saying what it was, what he did with her, and all kinds of crazy stuff to get himself free. And then he had got that dude back by basically sending copies to the job, because he worked with his wife at that job in particular. And that's when he went away for 4 months. I think that's when everything went down, you know, because he wasn't around. Mm. There was space. He was wandering. Whatever happened. But, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm calm now. Okay, yeah, it makes more sense. I'm calm now. Yeah, yeah, he's trying to reconnect with his daughter. But, yeah, I was in my feelings about that shit, man. You know what I mean? Yeah, that makes more sense. You try to reconnect, yeah, man. But, yeah, I was upset at first.
it get a little crazy, though. I mean, because, you know, one of the things when we bring in the Reddit stories, like, you know, it's hard to believe that some of the stuff is real, but, like, you'd be seeing the updates on certain things. Like, this one dude, like, the wife was cheating with a younger dude at her job. Like, I didn't want to put that story in there because, like, it has mad updates on it. But, like, the wife, like, he literally figured out how to hack the wife's phone. And over 9 months, he watched her, like, make these things and talk to the dude. And the dude, like, the dude was in his house, you know. Like, he's like, yo, this dude is in my house. You know, the dude was, like, in his house, in his bed with his wife. Like, you know, and the wife was acting like nothing was wrong. And so, you know, like, I don't know, it's kind of hard to, you know, like, how would you feel if you knew, like, your wife, the person you're married to, was in the bed, in your particular bed, not even out in a hotel somewhere, in your bed, sleeping, staying over, hanging out, mm-hmm, when you're not around?
My husband,
you know,
did that to me.
Let me ask the fellas about this. Let me ask the fellas first. Fellas, how would you feel if the man, your wife, a significant other, a girlfriend was cheating on you with, was sleeping in your personal bed in your house?
First of all,
that wouldn't have taken so many levels, man.
It wouldn't have taken 9 months.
Hold on.
Exactly.
You said what?
It would not have taken 9 months, bro. A couple of days would have been enough for me. We'd have been divorced central ASAP. I presented all the evidence. That divorce would have been done that day. Please understand.
What kind of sadomasochist is this dude to watch that for 9 months, man? That's
right,
sick.
For 9 months. Come on.
Well,
2 days,
bro.
Is you crazy?
People is crazy. Listen, yeah. People is crazy, brother. That's just what happens. But matter of fact, we're walking erotica. Erotica, what's your opinion?
I'm crazy. So, you know, I do some shit like, you know, seducing shit, get in the bed and shit, and then pile up and push her in that bed out the motherfucking door. with all her shit and have her tied outside or some crazy shit like that. Man, that is one of the most disrespectful things you could ever do.
Yep.
Ever.
I would have taken this.
Honestly, you can spit on me before you do that shit.
I'd have taken a step further because I'd have called the cops, say a break-in dude was attacking my wife. You know, I killed them both. You killed her and I killed him.
Shit.
I ain't the one
that
I mean.
Fuck that.
She called the cops and said, I just killed an intruder. Wow.
Hey, Joe,
wow.
Don't start out saying that I just killed two people, though, before you get to the rest of this story.
What did you say, Gerard?
Nah, but I mean,
I thought you had to say, I just killed two people.
Nah,
from
man.
Fashion, right?
No,
tell him the dude killed her and you killed him. He caught the intruder. Hell nah. That's self-defense, bro. I'm trying to protect her.
My man.
Yeah, Wallace. This is being recorded. We'd like to know the views and the opinions of those who are participating is not reflective of the Vivi Radio Universe for real entertainment.
You gave me a disclaimer on that, homie. You gave me a disclaimer.
Oh, my God. Man. This is
a First Amendment protected activity. No one was hurt in the making of this podcast or the opinion. We're acting.
Yeah, actually, I'm a thespian, absolutely.
Thespian. Be a thespian. Do not be
misconstrued
anyone
who says. To be or not to be.
Do not misconstrue.
Oh, shit.
But going back to it, but I mean, like, For the guy to take revenge, like literally, but what most of these dudes, like when they decide to like destroy lives, like there was another one that I read where he came to find out that his wife was a thought pocket, like straight up a thought pocket, and it was like crazy because he would have not known anything, and he discovers that his children that he thinks is his is not his. And she doesn't even know who the father of the two children are.
Oh, wow. That's a hurt piece.
Like, he doesn't even know who the father. Like, she doesn't even know, right? And the thing is that, like, when he discovers, like, how he finds out, right, because she goes out with her girlfriend, right? So he's like, oh, you go out, go have a night out with your girls, blah, 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 much like the dude. And the first story, hey, you want to go out girls' night? Go ahead. You know, have a good time, blah, blah, blah. You know? And then they have a snowstorm, right? Oh, he's worried sick about his wife, right? And he's like, yo, the roads is out, blah, blah, blah. So he has like a Range Rover. So he's out driving in the snow. He goes to the house. And for some strange reason, when he goes to the house, like he's calling her. She's not picking up her phone. So he's like, oh, she's probably passed out drunk somewhere, blah, blah, blah. And she's in the house. So when he goes to the house, right, he finds that the front door is open, right? So then he's, like, walking through the house. He's calling people's names. He figure out where she is. So then he goes to the guest bedroom, and her head pops out. And then he sees a dude that he's never seen before. And then he just loses his shit because he sees his wife in the bed with somebody, right? So that's what starts everything. So then he immediately, like, separates himself from her, right? And so then they have to have the conversation because she's like, she's got caught. And, you know, he's like, how many times has this happened? She's not telling the truth. And then he does the thing of hiring a private investigator. And that's where shit really jumps off because the private investigator finds mad shit, right? And then he decides that, like, you know, like he's fighting with himself whether he wants to test, you know, basically DNA test his children.
Wow.
And he tests his children. And they come back not being his kids. And then it comes up, and then she admits the truth, right? And the thing is that, like, she comes from a good family. Like, she doesn't come from a bad family. She's just a thought pocket. That's what she wants to do. I'm sorry to use the term thought pocket. It's a bad idea. I shouldn't judge her like that. I'll just say,
Are these tales of blackness or just random love?
No. If you want, I'm just warning people. When you start reading these stories, you're gonna go down a rabbit hole. I went down a rabbit hole with these stories. like I'm addicted to listening. I'm like, God damn, look at this. This is some shit. You know, this is better than the stories, better than soap operas. But don't go down a rabbit hole. Just don't do it. I'm just gonna tell you, it's gonna get crazy. But anyway, long story short. So when he finds out, so then he literally and figuratively, like, at that point decides, he's like, okay, well, game on. I'm fucking your whole shit up. I'm fucking your life up. I'm fucking your parents' life up. I'm doing all this shit, right? And it's, like, crazy because he's, like, the worst thing. He said the worst thing about it was, like, his pride and joy, which was his daughter, the person he loved so much, turned out not to be his, and now he doesn't even have a right to really be her father. Because he's like the only father she's ever known, because since she's pregnant, everything else. But this whole time she's been for the streets and not even knowing who the father is, because he's just effing randoms. Meeting people at bars, taking them to the friend's house, riding the skins, crazy.
Riding the skins. Hey, man, I had an uncle. I have a family member that really had this problem right here. What they ended up doing was the father knew about it. None of us knew about it for years and years and years until the kids talked about it. But the mother had said that a woman will get with a man for financial means and shelter and protection and all the rest of that, but she can go out and get her DNA.
Look, this whole thing with, because, like, you know, because some of us have raised children, and I don't know, like, I know, like, my kids have older brother who I raised, but I don't claim him. Pretty much, I disown him. I don't deal with him in any form or fashion. You might see him in pictures, and I don't care to explain to you who he is, right? I really don't. Literally, he did everything in his power to get disowned, and that's what it is. You know it's bad when your siblings disown you, right? So that being said, you find out a lot of different things, which is crazy, you know. And you try to keep a straight face and try to keep things on, but when you find out, like, I don't know if anybody else, I'm going to just tell you what it feels like, if you've ever been cheated on. You know, and especially if the character is, like, lesser than you. Can I say that? Can that be said?
Say that again, Harper.
You said it.
I said
yeah, it's a little elitist.
Said, especially if you've been cheated. You said it's a little elitist. No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, like in my situation is very specific. But, I mean, like, when you get cheated on by someone, you know, I'm like, listen, let the dude be his same caliber or greater if you can, you know. But you'd be like, okay, like in my case, he was like 19 and a gangbanger.
I want to ask that question. I mean, does it really matter whether they some vagabond on the street or if they're a man that owns a Fortune 500 company? Being cheated on is being cheated on, especially if you are oblivious to it and you find out in the worst way. Like, what difference does it make who they're cheating with?
What if he cheated on you with a woman without no legs, arms? That would that make a difference?
I don't care. It's still a split. It's still a split.
Wait a minute, Jerry. You said no legs?
He still can kiss and lick and spit.
No, it has to be something you go like, ew, you nasty, too.
No, listen. My husband decided to cheat on me. He went out and got a woman that was in her 20s, and she looked just like me, literally. And I didn't understand it. So I'm just trying to understand what it hurts. When it hurts, it's still painful. It still hurts and still make you want to put a bullet in his chest. So I don't know. They always say cheat up, not down. But A cheat is a cheat is a cheat. I just don't get it because it hurts.
Hey, here's my little situation. I got cheated on, but the dude that cheated on, you know, she cheated on with, he was abuser. He whooped that ass. And I just got the poetic justice from behind that shit. That's what you wanted. That's what the fuck you got. Peace.
Allegedly.
if you feel satisfied with that, that's fine. But it still doesn't answer my question. What difference does it make who it is? Getting cheated on is no fun. It's a painful thing to have to contend with. Find
betrayal
out. It's still a shock to the system. Okay, so I mean, even if they had only did it once, if you fucked once, you done fucked 1,000 times in my mind already. So
that part,
I don't know. I never understood this. Fuck up. Make sure she looked better, and this and that. What difference do it make? Did the pussy feel different? It wasn't mine. So what difference does it make what she looked like, what she doing? She could have been out, got a bucket, bottom of the barrel, keeper, and still fucked around. So I don't know. That's just me.
I don't know. I can't. I like that line. I'm going to use that shit.
It still make you want to become a sniper.
No, but I'm just saying, like, what I'm saying to you is there's a difference in the, like, if someone's just, if it's just a bad beat, somebody just, like if you feel like that person, like, for me, like, one of my major, like, you know, like, the fact of her trying to supplant me for him, I'm like, he's 19, you know, he's all dick. That's all it is. Like, there's nothing else to it. Mm-hmm. You know, you gangbang, sellback, whatever. There's not, and this is what you've chosen. So, to me, that was a difference. Like he wasn't established in anything else. He basically, that's who he was. So, to me, it made a difference. But, you know, with anything else, you know, like if you, you know, sometimes it might be the person that paid you mind, paid you, you know, figure things out. Some people, they lose their blessings by fucking around on some bullshit. And sometimes that's what happens. Like, you know, and yes, it's still what it is. But at the same time, if that person is going to do better than you did, or you knew that you was a fucked up and you was on some asshole shit and anything else and you lose it that way, I mean, you really can't complain. But, you know, if you out here, you know, you taking down people who are drug addicted on the corner, giving you, like, you know, the business for $5 to $10, yeah, I think that makes a difference too.
So does it make it hurt any less? Or I don't. That's what I'm trying to get at right here. That's all I'm saying. I know
as a man, I think every man, no matter what woman he's with, if he drives you to do that or whatever the case may be, he always wants better for you. And that's just him looking at himself, at what he may be short at or whatever the situation may be. He always, at the end of the day, wants you to elevate. And I think that's the psychology behind the, you know, if he's what you're choosing to do. Like, because that's beside the point of the cheating. Like, we know cheating is cheating. Shit, it is what it is. I just want to make sure that you're getting better than me, like, all overall, not just me. That's how we think about it.
Okay.
But I don't know. I just hope that helps.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, in my opinion, like, yeah, it's going to hurt regardless, but at the same time, having someone that you know, you be like, listen, you know, you got the dregs of the earth.
It's about the justification. It's about trying to justify the situation. It's, you cheated on me, you went for this, whatever, at least you did better. Eventually in your mind you can say, okay, well, you traded up. And if they traded down, then you're like, well, gee, you know.
There's no justification for me. You fucked up, plain and simple. You cheated. You decided to jump, excuse me, y'all, jump over the table. You tripped and fell in some pussy or whatever you want to say. There's no justification for it. You could have talked to me or anything, but you wanted to be greedy because you couldn't get your way, I guess, and just did what you did. I don't care who. It could have been Susie the Clown working for Barnum and Bailey. I don't care. You know?
We did. So we out here fucking clowns?
Guess what? It's a clown move to do that.
Yeah.
It's a clown move to do that. Well, you know what I'm saying. Because she wasn't, that was just the first one that he did it with. I'm just saying. There were different types of women that he dealt with when he decided, and I don't even know how long he had been doing it. That was the young one was the one I caught him with. But
so he was like one of the buffet type brothers.
My husband was misogynistic, narcissistic, and he was very, very intelligent. So his psychological bullshit that he put on me really did a number on me. I don't know. I was just in one of them kind of relationships. But I woke up. I woke up. It still doesn't make a difference to me what she looked like, what she was capable of. He fucked her, and that was enough for me. I was like, you know what? Okay. I didn't care. It was a little shock to my system to see the young girl look just like me, except she's light-skinned. That fucked with my head a little bit. I'm like, there's just no difference. What's it? None, except for the complexion. Why did you even choose somebody that looked just like me? No difference at all. But other than that, still fucked up.
You know what's really funny?
In my bed.
You know what's really funny? Like, matter of fact, let me, Van, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, bro.
Yeah, man, so we both share something very similar, right? What hurt worse, right? Matter of fact, Van and Jared, you can answer this question. And Brian, you know, if you've been cheated on, what hurt worse, the fact that she cheated or the fact that she cheated with someone who was a lesser caliber than you?
Oh. It was the fact that she cheated. I didn't care what caliber dude it was. We made a commitment to not you know, participate in those acts, but because you can't keep your damn legs closed for every time to get married, it's your interest. Hell, it could have been, it doesn't matter who it was. It hurt me more, the fact that you cheated. The fact that you broke the commitment that we had made to each other. So I didn't care who it was.
That's what I'm talking about.
I agree with that to an extent. But you know, my thing is, and this might be me being crazy. It can't be no dude that's out here just don't want nothing for life. And how did he get you? You know what I'm saying? This nigga ain't got nothing going for him. How he get you? What's you know what? And my thing is, if it is an upgrade over me, and I hate to call it that, if it is a perceived upgrade to her over me, I can see that a little bit more. The only thing I will fault her for is for her lack of loyalty.
Naturally, I get what you guys are saying. Naturally, those questions are going to come about. Well, what did they have that was different? You know, what did they do better? Or, you know, did she suck your balls from the back or what? there's going to be questions but the first initial shock of finding out that you were cheated on, all that other stuff is just, it's just, it's rhetoric. It's bullshit. It doesn't even matter by that point because the damage has been done. The dirty deed has been done. And it's no repairing that. It really isn't. Because you get that shock to your heart like that, and something in you changes, and you can never go back to the way it was. My marriage was never the same. And on top of that, it was an abusive
marriage.
Never
goes back. Never goes back
to
the way it was.
So, I mean,
We go through the analogy trying to figure out, you know, what went wrong. Did I do something or was it her or whatever? You know, we go through the analogy after the initial pain and try to figure out what happened. Well, yeah, that initial pain, yeah, we all feel that pain, that sense of betrayal. But then, you know, after that, then we start thinking, okay, well, you know, you try to analyze that shit. You try to come up with something and make it make sense. But the hurt is there. And after the hurt, then you try to ease that hurt, you know. You try to get some comfort in trying to find out the reason why. You try to find comfort in the reason.
Right. And sometimes just going about it logically. That's how men just do, regardless of whatever the problem is. After that first initial big hurt goes through, you are going to start checking off boxes.
Women do it too because, trust me, I wasn't laughing anywhere. And I'm going to tell you, honestly, I am not one of them ones that pat myself on the back for all that. I did not miss a day, okay, of anything, okay? I kept my house immaculate. My children were taken care of, well taken care of, okay? When that man came home, trust me, he got it good, okay? I'm an excellent conversationalist. He just wanted to be greedy because he had this massive ego, okay? Where it went wrong was I started disagreeing with certain things. And because he couldn't get me to fall into that mental thing, he's like, well, I'm going to go out and find a woman that's going to agree with me, that's going to stroke my ego the way you used to. His ego stroking was an abusive thing, though. It wasn't that I wanted to do that. It was just to keep the peace because he was so manipulative. And then when I started realizing, no, I ain't gotta take this shit, I started saying, no, you can't have things a certain way. And that's the way it was. The sex didn't stop. I love giving head to, I'm sorry, but it was no lacking in that. It was no lacking in the conversation. It's just that I had given him control over me for so long that when I started to take my power back, he didn't like it. And he knew if he laid hands on me, because he was an extremely large man, and he was a black belt, so he knew that it would be no question that he did what he did if anything showed on me physically. So he would use his words and his mind to abuse me. So, you know, he wouldn't lay hands on me, but he would fuck with me, with his saying all kinds of shit to me. And that's how I started to take my power back, but he was like, all right, bitch, then fine. I'm going to find somebody that's going to let me have control over them, and I don't care how you feel about it.
So you knew the why of your situation then?
Say again?
So you knew the why of your situation, why he cheated. You knew why he cheated.
After a while, it dawned on me, yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
And I'm
still scratching my head.
Stop scratching because you ain't going to get no closure. If you ain't got it now, you ain't figured it out, you ain't going to, trust me. But I kind of figured, I always had it in the back of my mind, he might start, you know, doing some he might step out on me. But I'm not going to go back to being that little yes woman all the time. I have a mind. I have a life I want to live. I have things I want to do. I mean, I was so manipulated by this man. I was bringing my whole paycheck home to him, giving it to him in his hand, literally. It was crazy. But, I mean, it is what it is. It was something that I needed to go through, and I went through it. I'm glad I did, because I'm an awesome person because of it. You know, you have to find out things a certain way. There are lessons that we have to learn, regardless of how devastating they are, how shocking they are. We still got to learn these lessons, you know. So,
we all done been there.
Mm-hmm.
I said we all done been there.
Yeah, it is what it is. I'm still dealing with certain things from it. I still haven't completely healed because I get angry from time to time still that I didn't do certain things while he was still here. As a matter of fact, I took care of him until his last breath. And I did get a little bit of satisfaction because when I had to change his wounds, I ripped that motherfucking tape off his hair. I did that. That was just, I felt like, you know.
Oh, Donnie.
I'm trying to tell you. You know, I wasn't vengeful about it. I accepted it for the way it was, and I just prayed a lot. And, did what I had to do, you know. We had stopped sleeping together. There wasn't no more sex after that because he wouldn't leave her alone or them alone, and you weren't going to bring shit home to me. I might have been a little passive, but I am stupid. You ain't going to burn me. Give me some incurable shit, and now I got to suffer with some incurable disease and deal with your fucking ass? Oh, no.
Mm-mm. So for all the people that are listening, that is going to follow this podcast, this went a little bit off the beaten track, but it is kind of new. You'd be like, y'all, what are y'all talking about? But I'm just saying, like, some people.
Go ahead. I apologize. You know I'm a chatterbox.
You have to apologize. But I mean, some people, they f up. Some people fuck their shit up. They fuck their blessings up because they get a person that's for them, and they turn them to a person that's, you know, against them, by who they are because of the things that they've done or how their personality quirks, whatever, what have you. Or they believe whatever they believe in and they forget what it takes in order to start loving somebody. They don't pour in. And so usually if a person stops having sex, usually it's one of the death knells of a relationship because, you know, sex is not just for, you know, sex. It's intimacy. It's fun. It's a way to connect with your partner and do all these different things that are happening. And people be dropping the goddamn ball on their partner because they start forgetting about the need to satiate themselves and their partner. And they just get into it. And some people get greedy and do whatever the fuck they don't do. But some people, they just fuck it up because they just don't want to provide the same thing for that. The ego gets in the way, whatever happens. You know, and more than likely, you know, with a lot of things, like, I'm just going to say this, I don't want this to sound chauvinistic, but 50% of the divorces in the United States are initiated by women, meaning dissatisfied. So I think there's a whole thing about roles, which we've talked about on War Council before, so we're not going to rehash that. But the idea is that, you know, sometimes people get to the point where they're no longer interested because of how their mate responds to them. And they'll start looking for somebody else. So I can see where in the story with the guy, he's away, and this dude is probably hammering her all day. You know, hammering. He might look better than the guy. He might have something. It could be any factors that are in there. It could be the fact he paid attention. But the thing was that the dude didn't do it because he really got an interest. It turned into love. And so, and then, you know, the fact that the wife was letting him text the daughter freely. You know, and she's underage. That should blew my fucking mind. But at the same time, I think about my situation. There was a whole bunch of possible shit that I never would think would happen, but she allowed it to happen. You know, and I had to get over myself several times. I remember one time she drove me in the car past this dude's house with me in the car, and then proceeded to get rid of me so she can go back to be with the dude. And I remember one time she took the car, right, that I put the down payment on, right, to let this dude drive the car who had no license. The seller packs out the car. It's even a case. That shit was the wildest shit ever. Like, I still want to write a book about that shit. It's very interesting. But when people make up their mind, they feel like some need is being met. You know, and the funny thing is, like, I remember talking to my ex, like 5 years ago. She's like, I wasn't myself then. I wasn't myself then when I was when that individual happened. I said, I recall the time you said you were going to send him and his father down to my house. And I was like, the funny thing is that his father, who incidentally happens to be a dude that I actually knew, was actually in prison because he was giving out, he infected people with HIV. Nutty shit, real story, right? So I'm sitting here like, looking at the shit that's happening. It's never a good feeling for that. But I also think that people talk out their issues and everything else. You can actually probably forge something a little bit stronger if you know what you're doing. But that's neither here nor there. That's a whole other war council. And this kid is making me crazy in the background because he's running around. Y'all can't hear me yelling because I keep muting myself. I'm so tired of yelling. Because he's not giving a shit. But I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight, rocking with us here on the 50 Radio Universe. Mr. Van Meadows, can you tell us what's going on in 50 Radio Universe for the rest of the week, sir?
Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, join us tomorrow night for the Erotic Love Zone with Ms. VIP and La Pearl La Negra. Thursday night is the Get Down with J. Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night, y'all, is Renaissance Poetry with your hosts, Keith, Eric, Kimbrella, Renee, and Trisha Stansberry. Saturday night, y'all, is going to be Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently with yours truly, Poetic. Sunday night, join us for the Inspiration Factory with your host, Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night, y'all, is King and Queen's Quarters with Queen Simmons and King Atterbury. And then next Tuesday, we'll be right back here with one of Mahavi's great shows, Smith Fly Speak, I believe. Javi, back to you.
It might be. It probably is. Probably is. More than likely. Who knows? I think traditionally, I think this would be the Kick Game podcast one, but I'm not sure. I didn't prep for that. But we could do it. It might be nice to do it. It might be nice. Because I haven't done a Kick Game podcast in a year, actually. Yeah, I haven't done it in a year. So, and this is the time it actually falls on. So that's really weird. Anyway, sneakers and stuff, we're going to talk about it. Don't forget tomorrow, all the sneakerheads, they're dropping AJ Freeze, Dark Iris, that's the Purple Jones, if you're looking for it. It's $200 plus tax, about $221 after tax. So Shady said he should take some bottles back, do what you got to do. But you better do it before 10 a.m. It's going to drop. And they're supposed to have anti-bot technology on this, so you really have a good chance of getting a pair. And these are going. This is a very hype colorway. I think that these are going to sell out. They're going to put all the bots on them, get to where you can get to. Don't buy some goat or after the fact. Get your shit straight from the sneakers. You should be okay. All right, that being said, thank y'all for coming. I love you guys. It's been a great time. I enjoy it. He said every time. Well, thank everybody for coming out.
Thank you, too,
thank you, my 50 Radio family. Thank you. Shout out to Zaki. I see you. Shout out to Drip for rocking out with everybody. Shout out to Jared and I'm sorry. I had to look at it. Gina Storm. I had to look at it. Gina, everybody else that's rocking with us. And everybody that came through. Playoffs will be in the next thing. We have some really dope stuff coming to you in September. It is going to be a ride. Also, in September, we are bringing Sunrise Scribe to the 50 Radio Universe. You get to hear all the different folks that's over there. It's pretty dope. And we're going to read all the different prompts and stuff that we've been doing over the past few months with these really super incredible, dope poems. You're really going to love it. We have some super special guests for Fly Speak. Honey Dripper Podcast is going to be super ridiculous because it's going to be super ridiculous. And other things installed. And every day of the week here on the 50 Radio Universe, you can get your fix of poetry, commentary, interaction, everything that you need here on Fifth Radio Universe for Real Entertainment Network. I wish you the best. I wish you always to have the best. I wish everything that's the best to happen in life to you. And I want to thank you for coming out and participating and being with us here on War Council. That being said, this podcast will self-destruct in 10 seconds. 10, 9.
Good
night,
everybody.
Good night,
Doug.
7, 6. Good night, fam. What's up?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good night.